From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Pam Lopez is among the women who signed the We Said Enough letter from women in California government that was published 1 year ago. That letter came in the midst of sexual harassment allegations against Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement, which went viral shortly around that time. Pamela shared her own story with accusations against lawmaker Matt DeBobne, who ultimately lost his job. Last summer, he filed a defamation lawsuit against her. She is a lobbyist and partner at K Street Consulting. Pam has also started the nonprofit Work Equity, and she's joining us today by phone. Pam, welcome back to Insight. Glad to have a conversation with you today.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you.
Could you talk a bit about what sets the stage for sexual harassment at work?
Absolutely. The answer is quite simply patriarchy. The reason that sexual harassment occurs at work is because we live in a world where there is a fundamental system of oppression that hurts women, and the fight against sexual harassment and the fight against sexual assault is ultimately an outgrowth of the feminist movement, which has been alive and active in the U.S. for the past 150 years.
So let's talk about why it's continued, not just in Hollywood or in politics, but in so many work arenas. And I think this speaks to whether patriarchy, as you say, is prevalent in most work worlds still.
Yeah, it is. So something that Tarana Burke did when she developed the MeToo hashtag 10 years ago, which was so important and so powerful, even though its biggest moment, I mean, it took 10 years and its biggest moment was really last year, was that she focused the conversation on the experiences of survivors. And when we talk about the experience of survivors, it makes it really hard to ignore conversations about how important it is to dismantle a system of oppression. So often when we talk about dismantling patriarchy or when we just talk about dismantling feminism, you know, the pushback is that, you're going to take things away from men, or you just want to hurt men. And that's not the case at all. Tarana Burke very artfully focused the conversation on the experience of survivors and the need that all survivors have for love and protection and understanding. And when we say Me Too, what we're saying is that you're not alone and you don't have to be afraid about coming out. But we are also sharing a conversation nationally, which is something to the effect of, listen, this really hurts me. Sexual harassment in the workplace makes me feel not okay. It makes me feel not safe. Sexual assault certainly makes me feel not okay, and it makes me feel not safe. And when you frame the conversation in that way, I think it's a lot harder to dismiss the seriousness of patriarchy, of a system of oppression that hurts women.
Pamela, we focused our show yesterday on the subject of sexual harassment. I talked with the journalist, Dr. Lynn Farley, who originated the phrase back in 1975, that phrase, sexual harassment. She believes now the conversation needs to be more about men, with men, not only focused on women's stories, but so there's some examination of the socialization of men and men's role in sexual harassment. Will you give me your perspective on that?
I think that she's spot on. That's so important. And that is why the Me Too movement and talking about survivors' perspectives has been so important. I understand the anger and the righteous indignation that so many women who have experienced sexual assault and sexual harassment feel. And they have every right, we have every right as a survivor myself to feel that way. But ultimately, if we are going to change our culture and change our society, everybody has to be involved and change our workplaces. Everybody has to be involved. And that means we have to have women on board who are able to fight back, speak up for ourselves. But we also have to have men on board who are able to see the effects of patriarchy, ultimately, and the effects of sexual harassment and the way that it hurts women in an empathetic way. And being able to say, me too, and describe a survivor's perspective and describe how much it hurts us, I think helps us shift the conversation from the perspective of men feeling like they're under attack to being able to understand, oh, this is really important, because if sexual harassment continues in the workplace, it is debilitating. It hurts my wife or my sister or my mother or my coworkers' ability to earn a living.
So patriarchy is about power and authority. It's also about numbers, Pam. And to what degree would simply changing the numbers make a difference? We talk about the New York Times published last year at the time of the We Said Enough letter that at Sacramento's capital, 80% of the lawmakers are men. So what if alone the numbers changed?
Oh, well, that would be dramatic. I mean, so many social scientists talk about concepts of critical mass and the way that having a critical mass of women in a workplace or in a legislature, for example, dramatically changes the culture of that workplace or that legislature and their priorities. So having women, more women in a space, is one of the most important and effective ways to change a workplace culture. And I will just add that, you know, we often look at a legislative body or workplaces where there are a handful of women, and we think that we've made great progress. But one of the things that we've learned about, you know, those few women that are pioneers, so like in the legislature or in politics, which is a completely male-dominated space, and there are a small number of women who have been successful in that space, is that without lots of other women around us, we are incredibly susceptible to sexual harassment and sexual assault. So not only would having more women change the priorities and the ethos of a space, but it would also be a protection for, you know, those few women who have gone into fields that are still male-dominated.
I'm talking with Pamela Lopez. She is president of Work Equity and a partner at K Street Consulting. We're talking in this week that is 1 year since the We Said Enough letter was published, which Pamela and more than 140 other women in California politics signed, and that came in the midst of the Me Too movement. Can I get back to your own accusations, the investigation that was started, the, as I mentioned, follow-up lawsuit that was filed by the lawmaker that you accused? Is the investigation by the Assembly still ongoing at this point, Pam?
No, the investigation by the Assembly is concluded. They found in my favor, which is to say that it is more likely than not that my claim was substantiated, that Dabhabne violated the Assembly's sexual harassment policies. He appealed that investigation, and so further review was conducted by the Assembly, and his appeal was denied. So there were sort of two separate investigations by the Assembly into my claim, and both substantiated my claim.
So he filed this suit for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress along the way, saying that his side of the story wasn't ever heard. Tell me about the impact of that countersuit to you. And that suit is still ongoing. I understand there's not been a conclusion to it yet.
That's right. The suit was filed about a month and a half, 2 months ago. The impact has been dramatic. Being sued is a traumatizing experience, and I am not sure how Dabhabne is funding his lawsuit. I am aware that he has, you know, nearly $1 million sitting in a campaign account, And I'm not sure whether or not that money is being used to fund the lawsuit. But if it is, I certainly do not have those resources to defend myself. So although in terms of legal merits, I suspect that he does not have a leg to stand on. It's very it's traumatizing, and it's certainly retaliatory for him to take this action. I will say on many levels that he does not have a legal right to stand on. Of course, the truth is my best defense. Also, because he is a public official, I have a First Amendment right to talk about him and to let other people know about him. And so on both of those levels, I'm protected. And then also, of course, a person who experiences or believes in earnest, even if they are not substantiated, that they have experienced sexual harassment, always has a right to go to the appropriate body, and in this case it was the Assembly, and say, I believe that I'm experiencing sexual harassment, without being retaliated against. And it's important for survivors to know that they have that right. You can always go to your workplace and say, I think that this is happening to me. As in my case, my claim was substantiated, but even if it is not, the person against whom you filed the claim does not have a right come after you in any way. And that includes legal action, and I hope that my attorneys are successful in demonstrating that.
And yet, with what you just said, under the vision of work equity, the number one statement is about numbers, and that there has been fear and concern about speaking out, and a goal is to have more women come together and speak out in a louder voice so that it doesn't feel or seem too dangerous. And this position was emphasized by what we saw with Dr. Blasey Ford and her wrestling with confidentiality or stepping forward in the Justice Kavanaugh hearings. So having said all that, Pamela, you can seem sometimes fearless about speaking out, but it also took you a number of months from the time that you signed the letter till December when you held a press conference. And so that fear and concern about the dangers of speaking out is still very real.
It certainly is. Like Dr. Blasey Ford, I weighed very heavily the potential consequences of coming out. And I was very much afraid, and I have considered this to be very much a part of my civic duty.
So where to from here? It seems that there have been legislative reforms, and maybe you would put them under the umbrella of some victories. There have certainly been some steps forward in the numbers of women coming out and sharing their stories. I'll ask you the same question I asked some of our guests yesterday on this topic, and that is, what are you hopeful about?
The thing about which I am most hopeful is the network that has been created between women who are survivors. So through Work Equity and many other great organizations who are doing this work, we're not the only one. Work Equity is unique in that we specifically focus on empowering survivors who wish to learn how to engage in the legislative space or the social activism space, who have sort of stepped forward and say, hey, I want to continue to be a part of this fight too. But there are many great organizations that are doing this work. It is that women have found one another and built networks so that we can continue to support one another and that we can continue to support other women and even men who are victims of sexual harassment or sexual assault who want to come forward and tell our stories. We still have a lot of work to do. I mean, ultimately, we are a part of the feminist movement, and we're talking about a movement that has been alive and well in the U.S., not just globally, for 200 years. There will be a backlash. We will still have a long, long road ahead of us. I think back to my mother's experience entering the workplace. And compare that to my own,
right,
and think, gosh, not a lot has changed in the past 45 years, but a lot also has. And so the road ahead is long, but what is so hopeful about this moment is sort of a reemergence of networking among women who perhaps hadn't thought about it in a while, but said me too, and then said, yeah, I'm a part of this movement too. I'm a part of the feminist movement. I am a survivor of sexual harassment or sexual assault or any of the oppressive elements of patriarchy. I want to learn how to protect myself and fight back and push back, but I also want to learn how to support other women. And that's really powerful because there is strength in numbers. And I think it the numbers and the networking that has come out of this Me Too moment in the past year is just profoundly hopeful.
Pamela, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. We're grateful to have some of your time.
Thank you, Beth.
That is Pamela Lopez, president of Work Equity. We will post a link online at capradio.org/insight. And you're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.